Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
Deuteronomy 34 verse 10 and 11. Very quickly, let's read these two verses and we'll take our seat. Deuteronomy 34 verse 10 and 11. It says that, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Verse 11, "In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land." Praise the Lord. In Psalm 105 verse 26 and 27, we read that one as well. Psalm 105, 26 and 27, very quickly. It says that he sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. Praise the Lord. 27 says that they showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. Please take your seat. We're talking about the God of Wonders part 8. The God of Wonders part 8. The scriptures we have read, they are very straightforward. Moses was born and raised in Egypt, in the house of Pharaoh. He grew when he grew. Situations made him to leave that place to go and join his father-in-law at that time, Jethro, in the country of Jethro. And he was taking care of the flock at the backside of the wilderness when the Spirit of the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush. Praise the Lord. In that burning bush, the Lord spoke, called him, ordained him, and sent him. And the Bible is alluding to this process of the call of Moses and the assignment of Moses, then his obedience, and what resulted out of that. So, in that Deuteronomy 34, verse 10 and 11, there is a call that Moses received as a prophet. And God had decided to put him at a certain level of the prophetic. He said, "All the other prophets, I reveal myself to them in dreams. But when it comes to Moses, our encounter levels are at a different level." It was not because of what Moses did. Moses didn't do anything to come to this level. God chose to meet him at this level. And all the others at the level he met them. Are you with me? So now when now God called him for all these blessings in him to come to the fore, he was ordained and he was sent. And all that time, nothing major was happening through Moses except what God alone was doing. For instance, at the burning bush, Moses didn't do anything. He only had a rod. God told him, put it on the floor, and God made it to turn into a snake. It was God doing it. He had never seen anything, any such thing before. Then he sent him to Egypt. When he went into Egypt, he now empowered him to be able to do the things that he saw God was doing with him at the burning bush. He went, touched the water, it turned into blood. He spoke many things on the land. And they came. He put his rod down, became a snake. The magicians put their rod down, became snakes. His rod swallowed all of them. God was now working miracles through this wonderful brother. Remember, he was a fugitive at a point in time. He ran out of Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian. And he was going back to the place where he was supposed to be a wanted man. But in all of these, what do we learn from it as children of God? What we learn is that there is the call of God to a child of God. There is assignment God has given a child of God, called to be redeemed, called to serve. Then there is also the miraculous power of God at your disposal as a child of God. In fact, in Exodus, the Lord told Moses when he was a bit concerned about whether the people were going to hear him or not, God told him that, go, all my wonders will go with you. So the backing of God is also on the call of God. And every child of God has all these elements that I have mentioned now. What does it take to walk in what God wants to do miraculously in your life? In Moses' case, as we are learning, he was sent and he went. And he had serious views against going. If you had killed someone in Accra, and you are wanted in Accra, and you have gone to hide in a village, and God meets you in that village, you say, let's say you were living in Cantonment, and he said, I want you to go back to Cantonment and do ministry there. And the ministry will be very big and you will be popular. That means a wanted man has been found. Immediate arrest. So he had a lot of issues, including his physical, disabilities. He said, I'm a stammerer. I don't know how to talk. He was doing everything possible to ensure that God will back off and not send him. And God said, you will go. So at some point in time, he had to give up. And when he gave up and accepted the will of God, God now put some systems and structures around him. He said, one of the structures I will give you is Aaron. Aaron will be your spokesperson, since you say you don't know how to speak. Even though I can heal your stammering, but I will give you a structure that will make you function to perfection. There is no reason why a child of God must be in a standoff with God. If you are a child of God, for you to walk in the wonder-working power of God, you need to embrace this element called obedience to the voice of God. What's the element? Obedience to the voice. In the first service, I spoke about sacrifice. This service, we are talking about obedience. Say obedience. Nothing will rob you of what God wants to do in your life more than disobedience. In fact, you'd rather be prayerless than to be disobedient. Because the disobedient child of God is a useless child of God to him or herself. Why? Because there is so much on the table that only your obedience will bring it to you. And for all the things you'll be complaining about, what will be robbing you will be your disobedience. He told them in Isaiah, he said, go tell the righteous and tell the obedient that they will eat the good of the land. The good of the land, the best of God, responds to the obedient child of God. So Moses was obedient to God. Does obedience mean you do not have challenges? No. Does obedience mean the absence of contrary views? No. Does obedience mean that I always want to do it? Does it mean that I am always happy to do it? No. But obedience means that I am willing to subject myself to a superior argument. I'm willing to subject myself to a superior command, a superior instruction. It's God talking to somebody now. I'm willing to submit myself to an overriding instruction from the God that I have submitted myself to. And so regardless of my views, regardless of the challenges I have, Moses said, I'm a stammerer. Moses said, I'm afraid, regardless of my fear. I obey not because it's convenient to me. I obey because he's saying so. And when I do it so, for his name's sake, you have seen it in the Bible severally. For my name's sake, for my name's sake. For my name's sake is really, really what is called obedience. When Peter said that we have toiled all night, we caught nothing. I'm an experienced fisherman. I won't go but at thy word. That is called obedience. It's called what? Obedience. When you have an opposing view and God says, go my way. Obedience is going the way of God when you really want to go that other way. Is God talking to someone now? It is at that point that you would step and tap into the wonder working power of God. All the miracles Moses had lived in Egypt before, never did any miracle. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But when he obeyed God to go back, see all the miracles that were done. Obedience. Please tell somebody that obedience means you are stepping into the miraculous, into the wonder working power of God. A disobedient child of God is working against him or herself. A disobedient child of God means that you are cutting yourself from supernatural supply. Because it is difficult to receive the help of God when you are not set to follow his ways. When you come off his track, you miss everything that is in that pathway. That is why to enter into the blessedness of God, you need to have come to a place where you allow God to order your steps into his blessedness. And when you say the lines are falling onto me in pleasant places, it's not because you are walking where you want to walk. It's because you have averred yourself to walking in the path that he has chosen for you. You will find whatever you are looking for only in the path that he has chosen for you. And to chart that path, you need obedience. What do you need? Nothing is stinky in the nose of God more than a disobedient child of God. Disobedience is a foul smell in the atmosphere of the supernatural. That you are in a season where God, look at them, John chapter 2, they said, wine is finished. He said, no problem. Someone say, no problem. It is, there's nothing we are looking for in this life that's a problem to God. He said, wine is finished. He said, no problem. They go to him, he said, my time is not up. They go to Mary. Mary says that, I cannot do it, but I know the one who can do it. And if he will do it, whatever he tells you, do it. John 2:5. Without them following after his script, his instruction, there is no way water would have turned into wine, even though he was present. Please, and let me tell you that what you learn from this is that the presence of God in your life is not an automated miracle worker in your life, especially if you are disobedient. He's at the party and wine is getting finished. He can be where you are in you and things are getting expended. Because presence is not equal to engagement. An engagement has rules. Have you heard of rules of engagement before? So the Holy Ghost will not engage on your terms. He will engage on his terms. So he's at the party. Wine is finished. Is it his matter? It's your matter. It's not his wedding. It's your wedding. If you want wine, it has to be on his terms. So pride in yourself that I'm a child of God. No one can do me thing. I'm a child of God. I will not suffer. You can suffer if you are a disobedient child of God. You can dry up if you, that is, you see that? He said, pour water into all these vessels. They poured water. They didn't pour ahe. Do you know ahe? You don't know ahe? They didn't pour soap below there. He said, pour water. They poured water. He said, pour water. They didn't pour pito. He said, pour water. They didn't pour Sprite. Obedience. You cannot have your own ideas and expect God to fit into them. You have to fit into God's ideas of doing things. That is why he can be with you and he's not working for you. Because he will work when you are obedient to him. As many that are led by the Spirit, it's not every believer who has the Holy Spirit. Of course, if you are a believer, you have the. It's not every Holy Spirit indwelling believer who is willing to be led by the Spirit. Some are led by their friends. Some are led by their experiences. Some are led by their space, their time, their season. Some don't be led by anything. Be led by the Holy Ghost. And being led by the Holy Spirit means that you have given up absolutely your body, soul, and spirit to His demands. Is it difficult? Yes and no. Naturally, it's difficult. But with His help, it's not difficult. So, when His help comes in, the matter that fights you is your choice. You see that He is expressing something through your heart. Then you have a choice to make. Whether to say yes or to say no. Or to dilly-dally. They are all your choices. Ask somebody, are you making a choice to obey? What choice are you making? And any time you do not obey the Holy Spirit absolutely, it doesn't affect Him, it affects you. So for you to walk in the miraculous, if water will turn into... Look at the processes. He say, go. Pour water into this. Now, after a while, he said, go and pour the water. Then he said, take it to the governor to taste it. And then after that, come and tell. He didn't say taste it. He didn't say touch it. Just following after what. And you see, the Holy Spirit is living in us. Is the most prominent voice in our heart. Is the primary voice in our being. Not even your mind. His voice is the primary voice if you are a believer. And is the strongest voice, the dominant voice. Anytime you are disobeying, it means that you are setting aside the dominant voice. Even though we say it's the still small voice, that small voice is louder than any voice in the body or in the being of a believer. So for instance, before you make a wrong choice, the correct choice will be so loud that you would have to set it aside to choose the bad one. Hello? Why don't we obey Him? We don't have a mind that tells us that obedience will make us get to where God wants us to be. And so we think that we can do anyhow, anyhow. Because life has been anyhow. You saw your mother, it was anyhow, anyhow. Your father, it was anyhow, anyhow. And then my brother shall. Because we have not positioned ourselves to tap into the help of God. That makes life, you know, more functional. Like the one or two others. Well, wait till you kakra. And I wait till you grow kakra. And all of that. So every time you are just swinging back and forth. Swinging back and forth. But we are blessed. We have Moses, them, they didn't have what we have. We have the Holy Spirit in us. When you wake up, the voice you are hearing, all the voices you are hearing, is the Holy Spirit just programming the day for you. Yeah. You just have to muffle it with activities to dilute it. Then you don't know what you want to do. But if you are really, really conscious of the Holy Spirit, what you will need to do is to also be obedient. So, He can be there. Holy Spirit can live with you all your life. And it's not bothered. Because you are not bothered. You have to be bothered. You have to desire for His best for you. And you have to step into it. Do what? You use your faith to negotiate that bridge. You can whine. You can sulk. As much as you can, it's changing nothing for the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need anything here. You need Him for everything. He doesn't need you for anything. You need Him for everything. And when you obey Him, you step into the miraculous. You do what? I can't hear you. You do what? Look at the scripture we read in Psalm 105 verse 105. Yeah. It says that He sent Moses His servant and Aaron whom He had chosen. Next verse, please. He said, they showed His signs among them and wonders. He sent them. How did they manifest the wonders? They went. That's obedience. God says, go, go. Like, why will you question God? Okay, now, how about if I go? When God sent you, there must not be concerns. That's why he was not interested in answering Abraham. He said, Abraham, leave your father's house and go to a land that will show you. He said, where? He said, just go. Just go. You like questioning the papa. Hey, everything then you are questioning. You think God is your headmaster? Did you pay school fees to God? Everything. You are just saying, okay, okay. He says, let's come together. Let us come and reason together. Let us come. Look. The earlier you come to that level of understanding that God has my best interest in his will, and there is no improvement I can bring to that plan, the better for you. You cannot improve it. There is nothing you are going to do to improve his plan. You just have to fit into that plan. Submit to that plan. Praise the Lord. A subset of that universal set. Yes, you can never improve it. Now, if God says go to a place where you will die, that death is your success. Why do you want to live? Fear of death. As if there was a joy for your birth. Jesus was happy to die, and he knew it right from the beginning. And he called it, for this purpose I was born. Be happy, like give up. I was telling someone recently that one of the skills by the grace of God I have mastered is the ability to give up what will not work. Oh, I'm gone long time. I will give, let the whole world say, oh, when to me. If it's not going to work, I've given up. It doesn't matter how beautiful it looks. It doesn't matter how it is attached to ego, whatever. But if it's not going to work, I've already given up long time. And so nobody, nothing is more important to me than the plan of God or walking in obedience to God. I can give up my house, my job, my business, my education. I can give up anything, whatever it is. Just if it's not going to work with God, give up. The relationship is not going to work. God says, step out. Oh, and I'm in our 5 years. And they're just saying, like, that giving up, mastering the skill of giving up what will not work with God, is what will lead you into stepping into that miraculous marriage. What the Old Testament and the New Testament in the world. Tell somebody, master it. That's why some attitudes you have to give up. You are arguing with your spouse. Give up. It doesn't work. It's fighting against your peace. Fighting against your joy. I'm the man. Give up. If you are a real man, you will learn how to give up. You are a real woman. Learn how to give up. Chin chin chinai. And give up. It's a skill. Praise the Lord. They say winners never quit. And quitters never win. So our part in the end, you're complete. You have to quit what will not work. Whether in God or is not in God, or if it will not work, quit. Leave it. Especially what will not work based on the known will of God. Quit. God told Prophet Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah that he's going to die. That's my will. He's going to die. See God. When he went to tell the king faced God. And God saw that death, you know, is not going to work. So he told the prophet that you have to quit from the first prophecy and go back and tell him that the first one did not work. So the second one is what he should stick with. There are times that God wanted to finish all of them. Moses went to face God and said, God, people will say you didn't try. You couldn't even take them to the promised land. And God, Bible says, God repented of that thing. Even God, when something is not going to work, he shifts from it based on his sovereign calculation. Then you are with God. It's not going to work with God. You want to force it. Nyami anumani a friend is saying, "Enya una ututu no. Enya una ututu anumani ntakire." You took off the feathers. Obedience is sticking to what God has shown you. And God doesn't just move his goalpost like that. The goalpost is there. What is written is written. You have to face God, face his signpost. God, if he says you are going through the Red Sea, he's not bringing you boat. Get ready to go through the Red Sea. If you say you fear sea, did he say the sea will carry you away? Just go. He told Peter, he said, Peter, if you say you want to walk on the water, step now. And Peter stepped. He said, come. He was obeying and he was coming. He was walking fine. Until he brought his humanness into the whole matter. Hey, storm is where But come, he had just suspended and created some law that was beating some of the laws of physics. Guy was walking, floating. Because he said, come, and he responded. That come and he responded. Power was available for him to see the wonders of God. When God says come, you don't think, should I go? And she didn't go. Why is it that nobody else is going and I'm the only one who should go? Oh yeah. If you had not come to this church, did you know them before? I'm asking you. If you are not giving birth to your children, did you know them before? Your spouse, you knew your spouse before? Hey, why is it between God, yourself, your spouse, you want clearance from your spouse to obey God? Clearance from your friend to obey God? That's why we don't see miracles. Okay, so for Jesus to rise from the dead, he had to lay down his life. He had to be obedient to the cross. Then God raised him up. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Have I preached? And God will be speaking to you. He'll be speaking to your heart. He'll be speaking to you, your regenerated spirit. He'll just tell you, nah, shika. And then Pabua we mention. So a machi matari. Yeah, it's like, why? Like, you know, obeying God is not difficult. Hearing God is not difficult. It's just that we have mastered the art of disobeying the voice of God in our lives so much that we don't know even what his voice is again. So when he's speaking to us, then we say, maybe imagine I catch them and say, imagine. Even when you know it aligns with the word of God, you are still thinking, But you see, the more you continue to disobey the voice of God, the lower your life will become. Because disobedience can never take anybody up. Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to a people. One of the biggest things, sins you can do to yourself, is the sin of disobeying the voice of God in your life. You will sin against yourself. Praise the Lord. There is nothing your flesh is looking for that is as powerful as what God can give you if you deny that flesh. Can I say it again? I should say it again. Your flesh is saying, go and eat. Oh. The Holy Spirit is saying, it's time to fast. Time to fast. Flesh is going to get. When you eat, what you have got, if it's kenke, nakabo you got. Some protein here and there and all of that. But whatever that fasting is meant to give you, it will be superior to what that momentary food you are eating can give you. It's called momentary pleasure. Present gratification against future glorification. You suspend the present gratification so that you have that perpetual glorification from God. That's why many people are used to events. You have compliance. If you go to the bank, the biggest issues are in compliance. You go to corporate world, compliance, journalism, compliance. The reason why people are suffering is that people are non-compliant. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you a testimony. That's why he's saying, go this way.
Then he said, But God, the miracle is this way. If you are going this way, how are you going to get it? Ask somebody, how do you wish to get it? Where you miss the road? Let's stand up. I want to close now. Ask somebody, how do you want to get it? When you miss your way, stop missing your way. Start obeying. In Jesus' name, start obeying, brother. Sister, start obeying. Stop missing your way. Praise the Lord. Can you talk to about three people? Start obeying. Even if it's difficult, obey because he has said so. And stop disobeying. There is no benefit in disobedience. Only trouble. If you want to walk in the miraculous, be telling somebody, be obedient to the voice of God. Yeah. Some of you, God will put somebody in your heart, somebody that has not been in church for a while. God puts it on your heart, you delete it. He put it there, you delete, you press delete. Then you say later. Just say, wow. I gave a call to one of our key church leaders. And the thing was very urgent. And the person was on the phone. So I called waiting. I called. Phone number is engaged. I called the other number. I think the SIM was in one phone. I called, it's engaged. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I relaxed. And I was looking for other people to solve that emergency. Then after 10 minutes, the person called back. So when he called, I'm no, how are you? I'm fine. Blah, blah. Wow. Someone was on your phone. Yes. So my friend, it's been a very long time. Now, there's no entitlement. You just see how anytime you church member, you call me, whether it's midnight or whatever, I pick my call. Like, whether I am doing high jump or I am asleep or I just pick my call. Because a church member is calling. Then, I have called your phone. You are not talking to your spouse. It's not an emergency from your child's school. It's not your boss on a business call with you. And you put me on hold until you are done with whosoever. So he asked me, Daddy, you called me, blah, blah. I said, it's okay. It's what? It's okay. Until now, the person doesn't know what I wanted the person to do. I said, it's okay. The person that I sent to go and rectify the matter, when the person went to that office, for just being on an errand for me, the boss that he was rectifying that issue with took interest in that person. Major testimony. Just missing the opportunity. But the point I wanted to make is that even me, a human being, and being your shepherd, having an emergency that will has to be sorted by you, and you just trivializing the process, I just decided that let me back off. So imagine God is not me. When you get to that point where you begin to normalize what is sacred to God, when you begin to trivialize what is sacred to God, to his plan, he has his plan, and he say, in the next 5 minutes Kwame must enter his season of favor, and he is giving Kwame say, I'm on the phone. No, I'm not ready. I will call you back. God is the one who holds the plan of your life. Is giving you an instruction. Why will you be talking to anything or paying attention to anything around you? Cannot sustain anything for you. If I were you, I would prioritize the one who controls the plan. And like I'm telling you, even me, a human being like you, I saw that the person was not fit. Because how, you know how many years we have trained that if your pastor calls you in this church, except you are on the phone with an for an emergency with your spouse, your child, or your boss, or maybe your parent is an emergency. If it's something you can defend, just listen. If it's something that can be defended, oh, pastor, please, I was on the phone with my mother and it was a pressing issue. Can I call you back? They are human beings. If your boss calls you and you are talking, chit-chatting with your friend, you stop that friend and go and talk to your boss. Is that not so? Why will you be giving to what doesn't have value for your future? That's what we do as believers. We are paying attention to everything that doesn't have value for our future in making us walk in the wonders of God, and we are paying less attention to the main voice. I'm praying that God will help us. This work is not difficult. It's as easy as we breathing in and out. You have to be very unwell for breathing to be a challenge. But it's not difficult. God is ever ready to order our steps any day, any time. And I'm praying that we will respond to Him. Say a big amen. Can you clap your hands and bless the Lord?
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.